Our mood is tense, sad. I myself very sad because if we needed something, it wasn't what happened on 19th and 20th. We lost people. People were killed on the 19th. Policemen were killed. On the 20th, opposition members were killed. Youth was killed. It's very sad because we thought that what is at stake here is to go towards honest elections, peaceful elections in the Congo for once in their lifetime, so to speak. Clearly, we need to determine who has done what happened exactly, and sanction has to be really taken. Because otherwise, impunity would settle, and impunity and injustice are the best recipe for disaster.
Media reports say there's still no agreement regarding the date of the presidential election. Is this true, and what is MONUSCO's role for now?
We don't have a date yet. That date has to be set up by the CENI, which is Electoral Commission. But the CENI is saying, politicians, please agree on something and we'll do our very best. What I'm hearing now from the dialogue is that the presentation by CENI is pushing the elections to end of 2018. The opposition parties in the dialogue is saying, surely we can shorten that, maybe towards mid-2018. The opposition parties not in the elections in the dialogue is saying, 2 years are too long to get there.
Can you tell us briefly what your message to the Security Council members will focus on?
We do need more confidence-building measures from the government. What happened when 1920 is not acceptable. It's a government that is in charge of the security of its own country. Confidence-building measures, as the one we considered before, we asked them, free your political prisoners. Why do you keep people in jail? That's one thing. Give opportunity for others to say, okay, there is a leveling field here. There is more freedom. The Constitution says right to demonstrate, peacefully, of course. Right to assemble, peacefully, of course. This has to be secured. If not, well, we're not in the type of mood and environment that would allow genuine dialogue to go to peaceful elections. This is how I look at it. Certainly, I'm going to tell the Security Council that we have to encourage what we call a rassemblement. The other portion, a significant side of opposition that is not in dialogue, to join the dialogue. They don't want it under the current terms. But they have to consider, think about their country. And we'll talk about the East. Sometimes I tell all politicians in Congo, you don't think about your people. They're being killed. They're suffering. It's been going on forever. All we hear is political wrangling. So the Security Council has to do its bit also in encouraging further that others join the dialogue. The region, Angola, let's say Uganda, and all the neighbors should also join in hands to talk to their neighbors, because everything that happens in Congo, a country that has 9 borders with lots of uncontrolled territory, surely will impact on others.
That was exactly one of my questions regarding the region and fears that President Kabila might take on a third mandate, as it has happened in other countries. Does the UN have a position on this?
Well, I mean, our position is the position of the Congolese people. The Constitution is clear. You're entitled to one term plus additional term of 5 years if you are elected, what happened with President Kabila. He is in charge. There are more complications or over disposition in the Constitution that say that until a new president is elected and the Constitutional Court has validated that, he is in charge.
And do you feel DRC being the giant that it is, that it might have an impact in the region? Like you say, it has 9 borders.
If DRC goes, God forbid, in flames, 9 borders with a CAR that is trying to get back onto its feet, with South Sudan that is in the situation we know. All countries, if you take 1 million Congolese fleeing to Congo Brazzaville, do you think Congo Brazzaville can cope with that? I just had a discussion with an Angolan PR, permanent representative here. Obviously, is there a problem in Congo? Millions would go towards Angola. Can Angola cope? All the countries in this region are going through terrible economic situations with a downturn in the commodities, prices. So all the progress that are being made are being overturned. If you add to that a conflict with people fleeing all over, then surely we are in a terrible situation, and we don't want that.
And speaking of South Sudan, rebels that are in the DRC, can you give us an update on that?
We want to find a third country to accept them, because obviously from our one point of view, we cannot return to South Sudan as army, which has been fueling a conflict, but it's also not our responsibility. We didn't call them to Congo. They came to Congo on humanitarian ground in coordination with government of DRC. We disarmed them. We extracted them from the Garamba Park. Garamba Park is in DRC. It's not the side of South Sudan. That has to be clear, because some people have said that we want to fetch them in South Sudan. What they don't know is that even as SRG, as head of MONUSCO, I have no legal right to send any plane towards South Sudan and take anybody. If I do that, if I ask my pilot, they'll say, sir, we're not obeying. So that's how to be understood. It's all in agreement with Congolese government. Now the Congolese government are asking us to get them go somewhere else. Well, we're discussing with legal office, we're discussing with UN here. They may have to take them themselves and decide what they will do with them. But clearly, we are there to support, as we have been supporting throughout in all difficult circumstances that we've been mentioning earlier. So just in a nutshell, this South Sudanese issue, we all want to see it go quickly, because we have really real work to do to protect the populations.